Hey, what up, everybody? It is your host, Ryan Sketch, here at Sketchbook Audio, and boy, do I have a kick-ass show for you guys today. So stay tuned as we get back to Sketchbook Audio. Wonderful song. Okay, so we are back here at Sketchbook Audio. Thank you for another lovely episode brought to you by you guys. I don't have any energy drinks today. Oh my God, what is going on here? Is the world going upside down? I don't know. Probably. What else could go wrong in 2020? For instance, some guy on the Chargers just had his lungs punctured by the doctor. Talk about taking your breath away. That is, I am not a comedian whatsoever, but you know, it's my attempt. Speaking of comedy, here's another one for you. Trying to regulate and control Donald Trump's tweets in the morning is like me trying to control my urine stream at 4 o'clock in the morning. It's not possible. The difference, though, between control between the two of us is that he's running a country and I'm just trying to pee. I told that to my wife earlier this morning and she kind of like eye rolled me and then shrugged. And I said, was it funny a little bit? And she was like, Which means yes, she just is ashamed to admit that I'm funny sometimes. She likes to think I'm funny looking. I mean, look at this. I don't know what's going on here anymore. I've just absolutely lost my mind when it comes to hair. There is a reason, though. Let me tell you. In a few weeks, I'm going to be dressing up as two different characters for Halloween. I'm not going out trick-or-treating. I am staying inside with a door between me and the whatever possible kids come and take candy from a bowl that's just sitting out on my front porch. What's the fun in that? Actually, that reminds me of how Halloween trick-or-treating was for me when I was like 8. My parents said, yeah, just go up to the front door and see how it goes. And I would just get blocked by older high schoolers. Yeah, so you know, like the glass door, the older, okay, you get it. I was talking about some things happening in the automotive industry. So let's get to that right now because they're hot topics and I'm very intrigued by what's going on here this week. My news is again coming from autoblog.com. Thanks to the Autoblog guys for being up to date on this stuff. First and foremost, Tesla's battery day was yesterday. Well, this doesn't really have too much to do with the design aspect of the show, but it does have a little bit to do with engineering and packaging. So when you think about electric cars, you have a lot of room, literally, to manipulate the interior of a vehicle and just your overall packaging of the vehicle. You could make a compact sedan look like a sports supercar if you wanted to, just, you know, within the same general dimensions of a compact. You just move some things around. And I think we're going to start to see that. For instance, look at this. This is not an electric car at all, I don't think. But this is a Hot Wheels. The packaging on what looks like a supercar coupe thingy is now riding on this awesome off-roading package. And possibly because of hub motors or batteries inside a skateboard type platform, that's how they're going to achieve that level of awesomeness. I don't think we're going to see that anytime soon. Heck, even Tesla hasn't really manipulated their packaging too much to be any different than your typical cars. It does afford them more room interior wise, and then also the frunk that we're getting on a lot of electric cars and some supercars and rear wheel, or I'm sorry, mid-engine supercars. But yeah, nothing too dramatic going on there as far as really pushing the boundaries of packaging. But I think we're going to start to see that really soon. Interestingly enough, Tesla did show off two vehicles yesterday that I'm not so sure they were aiming to, or maybe just not everybody was that aware of what was going on. One was the Tesla Plaid, the Tesla Model S Plaid, which mind-blowing numbers. I'm not too crazy about that. I'm sure there's some Tesla enthusiasts who are just, you know, ready to throw money at it. It's $139,000, first and foremost. So if you're looking at a product that expensive, then you're way past me. The other one was hidden in the background of the presentation about nickel batteries and condensed nickel as opposed to some of the previous like lithium and whatnot. So if you looked in the background, right behind Elon, there was this funky looking hatchback thing. And above that, I think was the Tesla Model Y. So why would they show a duplicate of it? Well, they didn't, because if you look at the front ends, they are very different. But if you look at the back ends, there's a slight difference between the Tesla Model Y, which is a bit more rounded, kind of like a minivan, I guess. And then this other one, which had this longer slope, which I think is the Tesla Model 3 hatchback. And that could be his sub $25,000 car that he's talking about, which might not show up, unfortunately, till 2022. But it's still something worth looking at and looking forward to, because I like hatchbacks and I like electric cars. So why not have both? Speaking of hatchbacks, or at least crossovers and electric cars, Volkswagen showed off the ID.4 today. Now, the name might not catch you like any other name would, or particularly like the ID Cross or the ID Buzz or any other name that Volkswagen had been using. They decided to go with the number. And Polestar is kind of doing the same thing with the 1 and the 2, though I've been told that the next one might not carry a number. It might actually be some sort of name or a mix of alphanumerics. But Volkswagen has showed off this morning at 11 a.m. Eastern time the Volkswagen ID.4, which essentially is a crossover with a very long look to it. I believe that they said that the interior volume was like that of a Tiguan, or at least the footprint was like that of a Tiguan, but the interior volume and openness was beyond that, like a Tesla Model Y. So that's pretty cool. What wasn't cool was that they pitched this thing to be a like $35,000-$39,000 car right off the bat. And then very quickly, particularly if you buy the, oh, it says, I don't see the actual price again. I lost it. I think it's 39. Yeah, $39,995. Then you can jump up to the first edition, the launch edition, which is pretty cool. It's got some cool features to it. Nothing too crazy on the outside. I think it's got different wheels, but on the inside and some badging is where the magic happens with the first edition. But the first edition jacks up to $43,000, and that's without either of the two packages that are available. Go on Volkswagen's website, have a crack at it, take a look and see if it's something you like. The cool thing, though, is you can put down $100. That's it, $100. And just like the Ford Bronco and the Mustang Mach-E, you can get your place in line to, you know, order the car when it actually becomes available. I believe the base model, or at least the launch edition, will be available pretty soon at the end of this year. And then the other models won't be available until the spring of 2021. So what that means, though, is the all-wheel drive model will be available, whereas the initial ones will be rear-wheel drive. That's fine by me, because I would get the all-wheel drive model. It has more horsepower, more torque, and all-wheel drive. And I live in Michigan, so you kind of need all-wheel drive. Rear-wheel drive just won't cut it around here. But the gentleman who was actually talking and revealing the car was very enthusiastic about its performance capabilities. So enthusiastic, in fact, they hired Tanner Faust, who also is a Volkswagen racing rep. He's sponsored by Volkswagen. They were pretty enthusiastic about how well this thing performs. Now, you got to understand, all electric cars, for the most part, benefit from that initial torque that comes from an electric motor. Now, the Tesla Model 3, which has three motors, and a couple other vehicles which have two motors or maybe even four, they're going to benefit crazily from instantaneous torque. The question is, how long will that last? How long can you hold that? So you might get that initial blast. Hell, even a Chevy, what was that called? The Volt and the Bolt have really quick off-the-line performance, and then it just kind of dies after that. But part of that is because how quickly the battery dies. The other part of it is because they're not made for that level of performance. There's a lot of other things that are governing the output. But I think Volkswagen's got something on their hands here. I was looking at the interior and comparing it to the Mustang Mach-E, And while I like the exterior of the Mach-E a little bit better, the interior of the Volkswagen looks a little bit more like a car. It's more familiar to me than just this open, I hate to say it, appliance look that the Ford Mach-E had. Not in a bad way. There are some redeeming qualities of the Mach-E, but for me, I actually really dig the Volkswagen. The next thing I wanted to talk about, because we already talked about Tesla and the Plaid and then the Volkswagen ID4, is BMW showed off what I have to say is by far the most contradicting pair of vehicles ever when it comes to design. Let me show you, because it's just something you have to see. So again, I'm on autoblog.com, but I'm going to show you the polarizing, mind-numbingness that is, I'll find it here somewhere. It was here. Where did it go? Oh, and then there's another topic I want to talk about. Here we go. Feast your eyes or look away, particularly if you're pregnant. This might traumatize you to the point of giving birth prematurely. But when you look at the grill on these things, is just what? I don't know. I'm a little turned off by it, to say the least. What I will say is at least the 4 Series, A, comes in a really sick color. B, has a lot of really cool black accents and bronzish looking calipers. But there's a lot of other design elements to this car that make it that much cooler. Like, this isn't bad. This is great. I like this. It's just, you know, cut these things off and I don't know. Shout out to me, guys. Tell me, do you like the big, bold, towering kidney grill, or do you prefer the way that they used to be when they were kind of smaller and slimmer? I do like the headlights. I do like these side cars. There's a lot of new futuristic design going on here. I do like these hood lines. There's a little bit of soft and hard that's coming in here that I don't know if it all blends together, but take a step back and get inside the vehicle and you will see that a lot of attention was put into the design of the interior. Now, interior design is something that I really appreciate, because you spend the most time inside your vehicle. And if you're about to spend, I don't know, where's the MSRP on one of these bad boys, 73 grand, then you're going to want something that is A, comfortable, and B, worth looking at every single day. Ultimately, love the interior. Exterior has got a lot of positives. Just one big giant negative. Oh, that's pretty cool. One big negative, and that's that massive grill. So to anybody who's a big diehard BMW fan and you follow this, let me know. What do you think? Are you appreciative of this new grill? Are you turned off by it? Are you okay with seeing it in the future? I don't know. A lot of people were giving the BMW X7 and even the 7 Series a little bit of crap for how big their grills got. And theirs aren't even that big. That is, I don't know. BMW, the thing is, you're going to sell the car regardless. It's just a question of, are you going to listen to the naysayers and do anything about it? Or are you just going to push on and press on ahead? They did get rid of the bangle butt pretty quick. Just saying. The next thing I wanted to mention real quick while we're on here is that we're kind of in automotive season right now for the auto shows. And of course, nothing's happening, but Beijing did say that they were going to press ahead and go ahead with a auto show anyways. How many people are going to be allowed to visit? I have no idea. How's it going to be mandated and governed? I have no clue. All I know is it's a good chance I'll be talking about some cars in the very near future that show up at this auto show. But there's nothing going on for the United States, with the exception of the occasional reveal here and there. You know, we're getting cars like the new Kia Sorento, which is pretty freaking cool. I like it. It's definitely gone in a totally different direction compared to my neighbor's Sorento. So I appreciate that. I actually really like the fact that they've incorporated some of the Kia Soul's design elements into it. And overall, it's a good looking vehicle. And the inside, again, well done with the interior, good usage of materials and a wide variety of textures as well as colors. You know me, I love interior colors. Got to have color. Otherwise, it's just a big giant coffin. And speaking of giant coffins, I found out that my car, my 2020 Kia Soul, has a broken steering column or rack. I don't know which one was broken, but one of them is broken, and the car does not have that many miles on it. It's basically new. I bought the car May 1st, and the only thing I did was drive it from California to Michigan, and the damage actually occurred prior to me driving out here. I walked out to my car one day. There had been no problems prior. I walked out to my car, turned it on, turned the steering wheel, and clunk, I heard this disgusting thud. I hadn't even gone over 3,500 RPMs, and that's what I got. So my interior is all black, and as soon as I found out that I had been driving a car that had a jacked up steering column, I pretty much correlated everything to being in a giant coffin. So whew, I'm still alive, and the car is parked in my garage right now. But, Kia, if you're listening, come and fix my car, please. The other thing, Hyundai showed off two new N-line models, and I'm really excited about one of them. The Hyundai Sonata N and the Hyundai Kona N. Now, the Sonata N isn't as aggressive as even the Elantra N or the Kona N. And the Sonata is kind of weird because it's got this massively wide grille. Let me show you. This massively wide grille that makes it, when you look on it, look at it dead on, it looks very square, and it also looks like a carp or a bass. While it's overall not a bad design, there's just not a whole lot going on that separated from the other Sonatas, with the exception of the interior. When you see, and these wheels are absolutely nuts. I like them, but at the same time, I don't. I'm not a huge fan of mixing silver and black in this kind of way, but it's not horrible. A similar wheel design is actually on the Kona N line as well, but I like what they did with these seats. Again, it's an all black interior and with just a little bit of red, so it's not my favorite. This is why I kind of like the Kia K5 a bit better, because it has a red interior option. Red seats with a bit of black and then some red stitching. I like that a little bit better. But these really nice performance seats, a lot of heavy bolstering, some nice suede here mixed with leather, and the bright red stitching and little accents like this that separate it from the rest of the Sonatas. I don't hate it. I think it could have been a little bit more, but hey, maybe we will see an N, like a true N performance model. To the Kona's side of things, though, the Kona got a whole new design, and it looks amazing in their bright red. Hopefully we do see that here in the United States. As of right now, it was just revealed for the European market, and I would assume for the domestic Korean market. The last bit of news I want to talk about as far as the automotive industry goes is a friend of mine actually reached out to me, and this is actually not automotive news. This is something I'm going to go into. I'm going to do a little bit of a demo for you guys after the actual official podcast, which is what I'm doing right now. A friend of mine reached out and asked if I could help her with the interior of her vehicle. And I actually prefer interiors for the most part. There's just so many different things you can do. And back to what I was talking about with electric cars, it affords you just like an endless canvas of things you could put into a vehicle. So, wow. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a real treat. My mother just signed on and is watching this stream. The good question now will be, does she know what she's actually doing, and does she know how to interact? I'm going to ask her a simple question and then see if she responds. Hi, Mom. How are you doing? Waiting for the typing, waiting for a response, see if she responds. My guess is she'll accidentally cancel out before she sends a response, but, you know, whatever. Anyways, so I'm looking at this automotive interior design, and it's for a vehicle that is, of course, electric and autonomous, but it's meant to be a bit more of like a community vehicle. Not necessarily sure if it's a vehicle that's meant for commercial, like a bus, or maybe something a little bit more less occupants, like an Uber or something like, or a Lyft. But the point is, she wants to blend a little bit of luxury with a whole lot of capacity and cargo capacity and range. How do we break all that down and actually make it work? Well, with the luxury side of things, she had a really good image board, a mood board that showed some high-end brands, Burberry, Jaguar, a couple other things that I can't remember, Swarovski's, brands that are known, particularly in Europe, to be very luxurious and expensive, of course. But she also wanted to make this vehicle something that was, I think, used kind of urbanly, particularly in London, Leeds, and in big cities like that, where personal ownership of vehicles might disappear one day and we will just be left with public transportation. And that's fine, particularly in a city like that where environmental problems can really arise, you know, with industry, people commuting a lot, people making these really short trips, a lot of diesel engines, things that are polluting a bit more than what London would prefer. So she's got this vehicle, luxurious, spacious, and meant possibly for commuting or, you know, for like a family or a group of people. Maybe like a ride share. You hail it and it comes and picks you and a group up. So you're doing more of like a carpool. What I pushed her to do was to really, because I looked at her interior, and while it wasn't bad, she's very good at the perspective aspect of things. I wasn't getting luxurious. I was getting, you know, middle class or a little bit lower than that. And it felt too much like a bus where, you know, you don't really get any amenities on a bus. Now on some trains, you might, on some planes, of course, there's the jumbo jets and the, Dreamliners that have tons, like a full beds, rooms, all sorts of things. So, you know, I really encouraged her to push the boundaries of what she was doing and give me something that was really, luxurious. And that's what I like about electric cars and autonomous cars for this purpose, because now you have all of this room because the batteries are on the floor. The motors might even be in the wheels. You have a huge frunk possibly, or it's just, you know, like a full, I can't really show you right now, but think of the Canoe. It's a brand that's just kind of popped up on the boards here, and just type in Canoe autonomous vehicle or Canoe electric vehicle, and you get this really cool black futuristic vehicle that's got a lot of glass, so it's meant to see out of everything, but it's also a bridge between something that you could own personally that could be a carpool type vehicle and carry a lot of people, or it could be something that would be used commercially for public transportation. So really cool idea, but hers looks a little bit like that. So not different enough, and nothing that was really, again, pulling me to say that, oh yeah, this is something that the upper echelon would drive, or this is something that, you know, like a tech mogul in San Francisco would drive, or, you know, in London in this case. So anyways, she's going to hopefully push this further, but I was thinking about this even further. How would she... If this was for public transportation, how would she incorporate CDC guidelines and allow for social distancing in a vehicle like this? And I'm going to put this to her to see if she can come up with a way to help protect people, maybe even help clean while she's doing things. Her previous car was actually a vehicle that would drive around and basically absorb smog and bad things and then filter out good stuff. So kind of like having a bunch of trees all over the place that's mobile and sucking in all the carbon dioxide and pumping out oxygen. I think it'd be really cool. She did a really good job with that project. So now we're going to see how this one goes. But before, I'm not going to end this stream because I want to show you guys a little bit of kind of what I'm doing, my process for her interior. But before I get into that, I want to close out this podcast. So thank you guys for tuning in. Like always, be good to one another and get your sketchbooks out. Sketch, sketch, sketch. Don't stop. Now's the perfect time to be learning a new thing. Now's the time to be watching other people and practice and study what other people are doing. And, you know, maybe listen to my podcast, a show or two, and learn something, hopefully. So thanks for tuning in to Sketchbook Audio. I'm your host, Ryan Sketch, and we will talk to you next week, Wednesday, hopefully around the same time. Be good. Peace.